In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to tell you two things today. One is a skill, and it will help you to not judge your brother, to walk humbly before God, and to be open to his truth. Without this skill, no one can make much progress. And the sad, terrible reality is that if we don't have this skill, we don't even know what impairs our progress. The second thing is basically an application of this skill. Along with believing in the true God, it is the only absolutely required virtue for salvation. So this skill is this. It's a way of thinking. All that we do that is sin is because we think poorly, self-centeredly, ignorantly. The epistle and the gospel refer to the two main causes of sin, that is our weak human nature and the temptations of the evil one. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. In Luke's gospel, the Lord explains that the reason that the woman had been bent over for 18 years is because Satan bound her. The commentary of all of the fathers and the whole mind of the church understands that this woman's affliction, that is being bent over, is an indication of our sins. I say our sins because every time we read the gospel, when we hear of a sin, we should associate ourselves with these afflictions. Either we're doing them, or without the help of God, we would do them. Or perhaps we're thankful because we've been delivered from a particular affliction of sin. Never read the scriptures passively or without reference to yourself. This woman's sin is indicating our sin. There's an important spiritual meaning to the length of the woman's affliction. That is 18 years. Perhaps this might be a little bit technical for some, but if you think about it for a little bit, the explanation of the number is exactly what all sin does to us and the reason for all sin. The number 18 is the sum of 10 and 8. The fathers say the 10 indicates the 10 commandments, and by extension, all the commandments of God. Any sin is deficient in obedience to 1 or 2 or 10 or 100 of God's commandments. The number 8 indicates the 8th day, that is, the life and the age to come. Every sin is a sign of our weakness in fulfilling our purpose, which, of course, is to abide in the 8th day. In paradise with God and in God. Do you truly feel in your bones that you're also bent over? Do you have troubles, sins, bad habits? Are there things that are too big for you? A bad relationship, your own confusion, or laziness, your inability to pray, read the Gospels or understand them? Do you have depression, addiction, sadness? Or does your purpose and direction wax and wane? These things are the human condition. They are being bent over. I wanted to tell you two things today, with one being a skill, but I want to offer you now another skill. We must understand that every sin that we commit shows that we love God very little and that we do not understand our purpose and leaves us bent over and unable to see God clearly. Every sin, the little ones, the big ones, if we look at sin in this way, we would increase our struggles. And we wouldn't sin so much. The Lord's explanation of why the woman was bound 18 years is critical for us to understand. This is the skill that I want you to learn. By the way, when I say learn, I don't mean just know it like a fact. Probably you already know this fact. And probably every day, 100 times a day, you ignore this knowledge like I do, and you judge your brother, or you're not empathetic or sufficiently caring, or perhaps even indifferent or angry. This is the skill in a nutshell. The ascetical tradition of our church, preserved among our monastics, is that when our brother sins against us, we are not to blame our brother, but rather to blame Satan and the weakness of the human flesh. If we do this, we don't judge our brother, we're not angry with our brother, and we practice two great virtues. One is humility, because we see the working of Satan in a brother, and we should be aware that this very same Satan could work in us the same way or worse. And the other is compassion. Since we share the same human condition of our brother who is sinning, we should be moved to pray for him as someone too weak to withstand all the onslaughts of the evil one, an affliction that we share with our brother. So again, I want to tell you this skill because it's really important. When your brother sins against you, don't blame him. Don't be angry with him. Don't judge him, but rather understand that he is sinning because of the weakness of his flesh and the wiles of the devil. You share the same weakness with him, and therefore the devil could tempt you. I will not tell you to not be angry. You should be angry, but your anger must be directed against the proper adversary, the devil, and the weakness of the human flesh. The truly humble man understands the weakness of his flesh. If you're careful in reading our prayers, basically from anywhere, morning or evening prayers, vespers, matins, the psalter, the prayers of various holy fathers, they all confess to God the weakness of our flesh. If we believe this, if we really believe it, not just in our head, but in our hearts, then we'll be humble. And we will do the one thing that I mentioned in the beginning that is absolutely necessary for our salvation. The Lord mentions this one thing almost as a parable. He reacts against the judgment of the ruler in the synagogue, who, by the way, was also bound by Satan. And this because Satan was very angry, because someone he had tormented for 18 years was free of his torment, and he was lashing out at whoever he could who was too weak to withstand him. The law of Moses forbade almost every kind of work on the Sabbath day. The ruler of the synagogue tells the Lord that there are 6 days in which he could heal someone, but not to do this kind of healing on the Sabbath, since according to his impoverished understanding of the law, this kind of work was forbidden on the Sabbath. The Lord, in answering him, gives him an example. He says, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and take it away to watering?" In another incident, in which the same foolish judgment was being made, our Lord answered even more explicitly, "Which one of you, having an ass or an ox fall into a pit, will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" The teaching here should be clear. It is that kindness makes its own law. Kindness, which is only possible with love, is the fulfilling of the greatest law that the Lord presents as the greatest commandment and the one that's like it. That is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Never forget that all of the laws of God, of all the laws of God that are given, this one is most like himself, and that is to love others. We must always be kind. There's no reason whatsoever, no excuse, no set of circumstances that excuses us from kindness. This is why I've said to you many times, and this is because I'm a sinner, and I'm bent over, and I'm bound by Satan because of my passions, if you cannot stop sinning, at least be kind. A person does not establish the habit of kindness because of being told to be kind. He learns to be kind by learning that he's a sinner, subject to all the wiles of Satan, except that God gives him grace. You see then how this skill that I told you about and this absolutely necessary virtue of kindness are related? If we recognize in ourselves that we're capable of any sin, and in fact we've done many sins and still do many, and yet God has not abandoned us and continues to help us, then we, out of gratitude to our Lord and our humble self-knowledge, will naturally be kind to every man without prejudice. When I read this gospel some time ago, maybe a year ago, I composed a prayer that I say every day. I invite you to say it also. It's an honest prayer, evaluating people as they really are, but without judging them. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon those who are bent over and help them to rise up. When I say this prayer, I think of the woman who has been bent over for 18 years. I also know that I've been bent over now for 59 years. By the grace of God, I've learned to stand up, at least in some important things. In other ways, I'm still bent over. and those that I care for, being like me, are also bent over. This is a great tragedy, because it's not what God created us for. He created us to stand up. Let us recall that we're all great sinners. Despite our great sins, may God grant us that our hearts would be full of compassion for our brothers and would beg our Savior daily to help everyone stand up straight. May God bless you, and may God help you in all things. Amen.